whenever you're ready.
Oh my God.
Jessica! I've never been called a fox!
Dana.
That's a classy name for a Harry.
I like it classic.
Okay.
Do you?
Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast.
Sure.
Out with the bad and in with the good, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Jessica.
Dana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast. I am Dana Powell.
I'm Jessica Young.
And we are here to rant and rave.
I love it. You made your first jingle.
Oh my God. I really am turning into you.
I think it's glorious.
We had a post, what was it, a couple of weeks ago about how I was like,
oh my God,
okay,
the quinoa vodka.
Yeah. And we were like, you said, is this Jessica? You would think that our words got, I know, it's crazy. I'm turning into you.
It sounds like something that you would have ridiculed me for and just not believe is even a real thing.
Oh,
and you had
God.
To convince me of it.
I know. Eventually, I'm going to be eating tabouche and all kinds of stuff.
Tabouche.
I'm going to be such a classy.
Tabouche.
I'm going to be such a classy lady with my foodie items.
Oh,
ooh,
yes.
Some goose cheese and berry toes drizzled across a poutine miramau. Ah, oh, qu'est-ce que c'est?
What's happening?
Did anything I say? Was anything I said real?
Berry toes
drizzled.
Oh my God. How was your week?
It was good. I'm trying to think what I did. Oh, God.
You did something fun, I saw.
I did? I went to the Forever Cemetery and saw the Goonies.
I love it.
Oh, my God. It was so amazing. It was also one of those weird things where the friends that I went with are pretty recognizable. And so, like, somebody recognized my friend Mitch on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, my God, is that Stove from Bridesmaids? I'm like, yep, sure is. Wanted to say, also, I'm in that movie and actually in that scene with him. But I didn't. And then also we went with our friends Jim and Stephanie, who are Jamie and Flo.
Nice.
From Progressive.
Yes, yes.
So we got a lot of stares. You know, Mitch's head is very recognizable. And then, of course, they are as well. So, yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Seeing the Goonies on the big screen like that, it holds up.
Oh, yeah.
You.
No, it's
Here's
great.
Here's the thing that's weird. And this is going to make me sound like a creepazoid. And I can't figure it out. When I was young, madly in love with Sean Astin.
So was I.
Such a doll in that movie. There was some small baby Dana part of me when I was watching it that still got dreamied over him.
Oh.
No, no, no. He's a baby in that movie.
I know.
It was like when my mom had a crush on Justin Bieber and I freaked the fuck out. But I know in my brain he's a grown man.
That's really funny because now when I look back, my main heartthrob, I'm going to say, was Corey Haim. And when I look back and watch movies that he was in, I just watched Lost Boys again recently. I hadn't seen it in years.
Yeah.
He's also like a child, but to the point where I'm like, I don't understand why I was even into him as a kid.
Oh, so you didn't have the problem I did.
No. Like when I watch
because
Goonies
I was
now.
Like, ooh, Peter Patter, oh, wait, what? Oh.
I loved him too. In Goonies, forget it. Sean Astin,
such
I just thought
a
he was
doll baby.
But now when I watch it, I'm like, hello, why wasn't I looking at Josh Brolin back then?
Oh, no thanks. No thanks. I'm not interested. No. Mikey was smart and really
he
deep.
Was. Corey Feldman was the funny one.
Oh,
Mal.
My God. He was so funny in that movie.
Uh-huh.
He actually recorded an opening to the movie.
He
was like, oh, it was like somebody was asking him to do it. And he was like, right. So they want me to talk about that movie I was in where it was a bunch of kids and we were hunting vampires. No, not that one. And it was like six movies. Well, do you want me to talk
he
about
was
that
in
movie
everything.
Where we went and saw a dead body? No, wrong one. Okay. It did go on a bit long. It was a long bit.
Yeah.
But it was still very funny. You know what else? I loved Sean Astin, but you know his brother, Mackenzie Astin.
Loved him too.
Was the one I was madly in love
give
with.
Give me a break.
Come
no,
on.
No, not give me a break. A
Facts of life.
Sorry, Joey Lawrence was give me a break. Just to
Joey
further
Lawrence
date myself.
Joey Lawrence was on Give Me a Break?
You want to see my head explode?
Well, your eyes are about to drip out of your face.
Joey Lawrence was on.
You know I worked with him, right?
What?
I didn't act with him. I was a producer's assistant on Run of the House.
Well, I think your head might explode when I tell you what I'm about to tell you.
Uh-oh.
Not only was he a big part of Give Me a Break, he came on later.
I don't remember that.
And I don't remember how he came in, but he called Nell Carter Aunt Nell. So I don't remember whose kid he was or how he came on the scene, because he wasn't
one
of the kids that lived in the house with the chief. Remember the police chief?
Yes.
There is a very special episode of Give Me a Break where Joey goes in blackface to Aunt Nell's church
and she has
performs
to talk to him.
Toot, 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 say goodbye.
And she has to have a talk with him.
Joey!
Oh, God.
That's how the talk started. I'm sorry, Aunt Nell.
Oh, he thought it was an homage, but he was racist.
It was awful.
That show really tackled a lot of large issues.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I love Nell Carter. She passed, but what a powerhouse.
I saw a clip the other day from the Bill Cosby show, which I know, we all know, but it was a Felicia Rashad clip. And so Vanessa, the annoying...
You mean The Cosby Show?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did
you
I
said
say?
The Bill Cosby Show. I'm I don't remember that. Is that where picture pages came about?
No, there weren't different shades of it, the Lucille Ball show. I love Lucy. Here's Lucy. Lucy does Dallas. There were just so many Lucy shows. No, I did. I meant the Cosby show. And it was Felicia Rashad and annoying Vanessa, the middle child, comes downstairs.
Tempest Bledstone.
Bledsoe. Not Bloodstone.
Oh my God, I've been saying it wrong all these years.
You're like, she runs a coven. She's not a Harry Potter character.
Say it again.
Bledsoe.
Okay. My apologies.
Tempest. We know you're a big fan. But anyway, she comes downstairs all skimpily clad and her girlfriends, there's two other girlfriends singing a song, and they're dancing all sexy. And the parents' faces are like, what? And the music stops. And Vanessa goes, did you like it? And Felicia Rashad goes, I don't know who you think you are coming down in my house half clothing and doing dances like this. It is time for you to go to your room. She just lets them have it. I was like, yes, mama, yes.
You love her?
She was amazing in that show.
I'm telling you, no joke. As a kid, I looked up to her.
Yeah.
That character. I mean, I love her as an actress anyways, but that's someone I aspired to be.
She was so strong and classy and beautiful.
Strong, smart, had a little bit of edge to her.
She wore the pants, man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She was a lawyer, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. You asked me how my week was, and I'm like, oh, Felicia Rashad.
I hope that listeners concur that they know both shows that we're discussing, because I've never felt older than when I was trying to explain to a group of improvisers I was coaching. I'm like, it was kind of like that scene when Nell and Addie get stuck in the elevator and they think they're going to die. And I got looked out blank stares. I'm like, give me a break. No one knew what it was.
Yeah. No.
I don't think it had even been born when it was on the air. So,
yeah.
Great.
That's why I say one of the things I love about you is I get your references and you get mine. Just a couple of old biddies with microphones in front of our faces.
Do you remember the weird police officer? I'm sorry, this is the last thing I'll say about Give Me a Break, but it's all flooding back now. There was a guy, he was a peripheral character, but he was definitely series regular or at least recurring. He always used to show up and he had a very cartoonish voice and he'd be like, Gnell, have you seen the chief today?
Oh, that does ring a bell.
He was this kind of, the chief was the chief, but he was always in uniform.
He was supposed to be a shy Don Knotts kind of. Yeah.
Kind of checking in on the family.
Yeah, yeah. That was weird. That's the kind of roles I get today. The weirdo that pops in and everybody's like, but why?
I would love to be the weirdo that pops
in. It's fun. It's very fun. All of those shows, here's the thing, I'm getting so old that all of those shows are kind of blending in for me now.
Yeah.
And over the years, it's more and more. So I think of things like Mr. Belvedere's Benson Break.
Oh, God, yes.
Cosby ties. They're all blending in together.
Number one sitcom of all time, I'm going to say, but like of the 80s, of that era, Family Ties.
So good.
And that holds up.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Growing Pains because some people really push for that.
No.
Now, number one theme song, Growing Pains.
Really?
Jessica. As long as we got each other.
We got the world inside of our hands, baby, rain or shine. All the time. We got each other, sharing the laughter and love. You like that better than, what will we do, baby, without love?
Oh, I thought it was us.
Maybe. Sha-na-na-na.
Yeah, but I don't remember all the words as much as I do the Growing Pains. But my overall
favorite.
There
was a kid on Growing Pains called Boner, okay?
I saw Boner running a camera at a friend of mine's play once.
You did? Oh, my God.
Oh, that should have been for Celebrity Corner. Yeah.
Why was that allowed as a character name Boner? Of a teenager on a family-friendly show?
It was the time. So that parents could go, Boner. My best friend's my boner. And then kids were like, oh, he loves dogs. You know, Wing and a Prayer, Greatest American Hero.
Sang it in my first grade talent show.
Oh, did you?
Know the entire thing by heart.
Let's
go on.
See. Go ahead.
I just went completely blank and I'm dying. Oh, my God. Hold on. Look at what's happened to me.
Yes.
I can't believe it myself.
Yes.
Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. Should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be?
Jessica, believe it or not.
It's just me. This is too good to be true.
My favorite part is I was laying on the couch laughing because you couldn't remember a word. You looked like a deer in headlights. And then I've never seen your body whip so fast to the microphone.
I'm telling you.
I have to tell people, when I record with you, we record on Tuesdays. This is not an exaggeration. It's the honest to God truth. On Wednesdays, my abs hurt because we've laughed so hard and I'm so out of shape.
No, it's true. My stomach hurts and also my face hurts. I mean, you smile a lot more than me in general. Yeah. Every day I have resting bitch face. I was born with it. But I find I'm like, am I having TMJ? I'm like, oh, no, it's just because I was smiling and laughing. Had my mouth open very wide.
Your happiness makes you feel like you have a condition. Oh, my God. We got way off the rails.
We really did.
We should definitely get, I guess, into our rants. Is that only as far as we've gotten? Oh, my God. Okay, so.
What do you have to rant about?
I'm going to go real quick. It's going to be an easy one. Here it is, guys. Pick up your poop. I can't handle it.
No.
I cannot handle it. And Jessica, when we were outlining this, she goes, your dog poop? I said, all the poops. Because since I've lived in LA, yes, dog poop for sure. I mean, that's a given. Come on, don't be an asshole. Yep. Pick up your poop. We all do it. But also, I have stepped in human feces twice since I've lived in LA.
Yeah.
Just going through an alley, going down a sidewalk. And you know it's human because there aren't that many huge dogs. Mountain lions stay up in the hills.
Oh, God.
It's people poop. And I'm just pick up your poop. Poop in a bag. Get a bag like we do for doggies and pick up your poop and throw it away.
Yes.
I don't want any poopies.
But people are really bad about it with their dogs, too.
So
it's
bad.
So disrespectful. And I'm amazed at how many people I see. You know your dog's going. It's not like it happened at home.
Punch.
And you walk. Yes, they're stopped.
Yeah. And so they hunch a certain way.
And people do it and they think no one's around. Or sometimes they don't care if people are around and just walk away.
Well, Well, I did.
It's actually the law, I think. I'm serious.
You have to. And so many people have signs out here because it was such a problem. Yes. Because people, the good thing about LA is people really do walk their dogs. Yeah. Like back home in Missouri, people leave their dogs in the backyard or chained mm-hmm. up or whatever. And it drives me insane because yeah. that mentally messes with your dog. Mm-hmm. They need to run. You know? Anyway, people do walk their dogs out here, but the poop is a real problem. Now, I did something the other day, Jessica, that maybe is not good.
Oh, God.
So I was walking with my dog and my son, and my doggy hadn't pooped yet. Mm. And then I saw some other poops on the sidewalk, and Henry goes, "Is that Lucy's?" And I said, "No, that's not our poops. Leave it alone." And I left it. I should have picked it up. I had a bag in my hand.
I mean...
I felt guilty about it for days now because it also wasn't a good example to my kids.
I'm going to hold with my comment because it goes on to our rave. It kind of goes hand in hand about okay. that. It's not to shame you for it. I mean, I wouldn't want to pick it up either. But now, I mean, I don't know why because I live in a
sometimes I pick up pretty trash, quiet. But I didn't pick up that poop and I had a bag. I could have.
I live in a residential neighborhood, right? It's all apartments and homes.
Yeah.
None of my neighbors leave trash out.
Yeah.
Everybody, no matter what kind of home, we have a whole range in our neighborhood. Everyone takes care of their property. Yeah. Nobody is disrespectful with leaving things out, trash, whatever.
It's a certain part on my walk that is near a very busy street mm-hmm. and a lot of apartments. And so sometimes yeah. I'm like, I wonder if it's people visiting that just think, no, they're not going to see me ever.
I'm the one that lives in the one apartment building on my street. It's all homes. It's none of my neighbors. I know everyone that lives in my building. People zoom through our neighborhood. It's not a real, in LA, mm-hmm. we don't have sanctioned off neighborhoods, if you will, or gated or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But people fly through our little pocket and chuck things out the window.
No.
And so it makes me livid. Yeah. I don't want to touch it with my hands. I'm like, who is such a pig and an animal that they're tossing stuff out? But now I can't help it. And I do, again, I'm not a germaphobe, but I keep disposable gloves at home mm-hmm. for things like this or cleaning my toilet. I go outside with a glove and I pick up all the crap that's outside, whether it's mine or not. And you won't believe some of the stuff I find.
I'm sure. I definitely should start doing that when I go on my doggy walks. But I mean, I haven't. Also, I could have picked up that poo-poo. But I was like, I'm going to have to haul this poo-poo. It's not my poo-poo. I shouldn't have to get it.
Right. I get it. Unless there's like a trash can right there.
Yeah, there wasn't. I would have had to walk home with it.
Yeah.
But I was going to walk home with my dog's poo-poo at some point anyway, so I guess I should have. But I was like, no, that's not our poo-poo. Leave it. That's a bad example. Anyway, pick up your poop. That's my rant.
For real, though.
Even if you're human. Also,
especially if you're human, for crying out loud.
I remember one time, one of the places that I stepped in human poo-poos was, remember at IO West, that really crappy parking lot across from the back door and the alley that went over to Cahuenga?
Uh-huh.
I was walking through that alley to Shortcut and I stepped in poo-poos. And then when I went inside and cleaned myself off, I came out. And then oddly enough, Ray Liotta was doing a photo shoot. And what? I was like, somebody should tell him there's human poo-poos over there.
Stop it.
It's so weird. What a weird story. I love that. I'm like, what a weird story. And not just, I am a weird person.
Did you warn Ray?
No, he didn't seem approachable. He was busy.
Yeah. He still scares me after unlawful entry. Remember that?
Yeah. He's scary in almost everything he does.
Even in Karina, I'm scared of him.
I don't remember Karina.
It's with Whoopi. Was it Whoopi?
I remember the title, but I don't remember the movie. You know what I saw this weekend?
What?
Ma. Yes.
I don't know what that is. It's just called M.A.?
Yeah. Ma with mm-hmm. Octavia Spencer.
Yes.
It's a horror, which I'm using air quotes, because it's so funny.
Really?
She plays it so dead serious, which makes it amazing. Good. And I'm pretty sure they know it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I think either someone is absolutely clueless or a brilliant genius. One of the two.
I gotta see it.
It's so dumb, but I'm so glad I saw it. I laughed a lot.
It's not a horrifying. I don't do horror.
No, it's not. It's not like there's a couple of silly jump out and scare you moments. Mm-hmm. And, it is creepy. There is some creepy stuff to it, but it's not scary. I laughed so much because my friend kept saying, this movie is off the rails. It's completely completely off the rails. And everyone in the movie theater was laughing. Everybody walked out going, oh, that was fun.
Unbelievable.
Because it was so bad. I think it's going to be, you know, it was released the same weekend as Godzilla and some other big one. What was the other one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was it Mindy Kaling's new movie, Late Night Part? Anyway,
I don't even know about that one. I feel like I'm in the dark ages.
Well, anyway, a couple of big movies came out this week. So Ma is not going to like hit the radar, mm-hmm. but I think it's going to be a long-lasting cult favorite, like Troll 2.
Stop it.
If you haven't seen Troll 2, get some friends together, have some special goodies, and really, really giggle.
No.
Yes, I've watched it probably 3 times.
Is it like that horrifying Leprechaun movie?
Yes. Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, it's like that.
I'm sure you're excited that Child's Play is coming back.
No, it's weird. He's all digital.
I know.
It's like watching a cartoon.
I think you'll be proud of me to know that I did watch a new show that just started this week on AMC called Nosferatu.
Ooh, is it good?
I'm on the... good enough that I'm definitely going to watch another one.
So it's a period piece?
No, it's not like the original Nosferatu that we think of from like the 20s or the 30s.
Because I say Nosferatu. Jessica and I are making a list of how we pronounce things differently.
Potato, potato. We're going to have a whole new song of those. Let's call the whole thing up.
And our podcast is over.
Nosferatu, I can't quite figure it out yet, but I have a friend who's really into books by Stephen King's son. I'm embarrassed to say I don't even remember what his name is.
Yes, it's not a King. It's not a King name.
It's a different name.
I want to say Stephen. Nope, that's his dad.
Stephen King's son. If you do a search. But he wrote quite a few books, and this friend had read all the Stephen Kings over the years and now has gotten into the son's writing. So it's kind of like a modern spin on some stories. I guess Nosferatu is a vampire in this. It's played by Zachary Quinto.
Oh, I love him.
I love him, but he's so heavily made up. In the beginning, I had no idea it was him, and I'm like, wait, what? And I don't know. It's interesting. It's spooky, but it's not scary. Again, I can't do horror, but I like thrillers and things like that. So it's kind of mysterious. You don't quite know what's going to happen after this first episode.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Legitimately, what part of our show are we in? I got us so off track. It's completely my fault.
We ranted about poo and then it turned into horror, which is very fitting.
Movie reviews. Jessica, I'm so sorry. What is your rant?
Hilarious.
I'm so sorry.
Why are you sorry? This is how conversation starts, and this is my MO. I told you. I can't get to the point because I have to think about the 20 other peripheral things dealing with that.
But then I randomly went, oh, you know what movie I saw this weekend?
Ma.
Sorry, what is your rant?
It's great. This is nothing earth-shattering, but I think everyone can agree and has experienced this without doubt. When you purposefully hold the door open for someone and they don't acknowledge it or walk right in or out.
Yeah.
Now, I hold a door for people. I'm a lady. I don't think, I'm not old school. Yeah. I don't think you have to do that. But man or woman, I don't care. If someone is right there, do you know how many times I've had doors by men or women? Literally, someone walks in and lets go of it. I'm right behind you.
Yeah, it almost hits you.
Yes.
That happened to me a ton when I was pregnant and I couldn't believe it.
Oh, that's despicable.
Yeah.
Despicable.
I think it's bad no matter what.
If I see someone who is pregnant and or anyone that has a baby or a stroller.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hold the door. Oh, I had to stand there an extra 10 seconds.
Who cares?
To hold a door open. Give me a break. If someone's older and you can tell is walking slow and or maybe is going to have trouble opening that door from the weight of the door.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Always.
So the people who don't say thank you for you holding the door for them are also the same people that if you do hold the door, 16 of them will try and jam through.
It's like a marching band.
Yes, absolutely. So I was at the Natural History Museum in Los Angeles here over the holiday weekend, and my friend held open the door for somebody. Mm-hmm. 16 people came through, and I'm that person. We know me by now. As they were walking through, I was saying at face level across their faces to my friend, we don't work work here. Why are there 25 people walking through? We were just trying to get in the door and now 17. This isn't our job. Do we have on uniforms? Do I look like I work at the net? Like just totally. Until the last person was out.
Yes.
Because it's so rude.
It's rude.
Not one of them said thank you.
I can't stand it. I always say thank you.
Me too.
When somebody holds the door.
Even if they just hold, like they're not looking at me and they hold with their fingers.
Yes.
That's still appropriate. I'm not mad at that. I'm still thankful.
Consider it. Mm-hmm. Also, let people get whoever was going in, let them in or out for, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like
whoever
one side
the
needs
door.
Just to hold. Yeah. The person who was entering or exiting, you let them
first. It's like an
go.
Elevator.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
No, it's the worst. People are terrible with stuff like that, and it's just unnecessary. It's such an easy way to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's also like when you let somebody over in your lane
yes.
when you're driving and they have their turn signal on and nobody wants to let them over, so you slow down and wave them over, and then
and
they don't
wave
back.
It's so I wave at everyone, even when it's like my right,
yeah.
and it's like I have the right of way,
still,
or it's like you
yeah.
see them always give a wave, and
me
then
too.
I make sure, I'm like, maybe they didn't see me, and I'll put my hand out the window sometimes
I
waving. Or I put it up by the rear view, I'm like, hello. Hello.
I know my windows are tinted. I want you to know. I said, thank you. I know I do the same thing. And then I'm the crazy person that takes it the extra step. If they don't wave at me, I will honk at them and wave.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe next time they'll remember, oh, I didn't say thank you.
Yeah.
No, they won't. Also, why am I the like harbinger of goodness mm-hmm. and manners to everyone?
I was talking about this with my friend yesterday, this very thing. She started teaching her son. She's a single mother. She started teaching her son to do things like that.
Yeah.
Not because she's some diva. She's absolutely not. She's the most down-to-earth person you'll meet. She said, there are things that I insisted my son do with me so that he does that in society.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, we were talking about door holding and all that. She said, people used to glare at me. People would even say stuff to me. I'd be like, I'm not going to open that door. She, when he was young, started teaching him to open the door, not just for her, for anyone.
For anyone. People do get really sensitive about feminist issues and mm-hmm. saying, oh, if you want equal rights, why do I have to open the door for you
right.
and stuff like that? It's not about male, female, young,
old. No. She
it's
said just for manners. Yes.
I think.
Just like she said, my son, I taught him to look anyone in the eye when he shakes their hand.
Yes.
I taught him to say thank you. And she said that people used to really, you could tell how people would look at her when she'd be in a store. If they'd be out somewhere and he'd be like, mommy, can I have this? If she bought him a little treat or whatever, then she'd be like, and what do you say?
Yes, I do that.
And he'd say, thank you. And a stranger once even said to her, I can't believe that you're having him thank you for that. And she's like, if he
Why?
Doesn't get it, he asked for a treat. He was lucky enough to receive it. That is not how the world works. You don't
exactly.
always get what
you
want.
Get what you want.
And when you get something from someone,
you
say thank you. I don't care if it's your parent or a complete stranger.
Well, I taught that to my son very, very early, mm-hmm. and my sister did as well. And we get comments all the time about, oh, it's so polite, so polite. And I'm like, why is that?
Isn't it sad that it has to stand out?
Why does that stand out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But it is true. I think a lot of people are very taken with children that are, and adults for that matter, but that are polite. And I'm mm-hmm. like, it's not taking away. It's a wonderful what you and others are doing with their children. But I'm like, I get angry that I have to be impressed and so shocked because it's not the norm. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Common decency. We talk about it on the show all the time. Common decency
exactly.
for fellow
well, and like my
humans.
Child, some people are like, well, I don't want my kid to think it's okay to just talk to strangers and engage.
Mm-hmm.
I teach my son not to talk to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
He's not engaging. He's just being polite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's
I know.
Weird. I think it's weird.
It's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Really quick before we exit rants, because I thought about this. We talked about this last week. How was the lawn etiquette when you went to the outdoor movie? Because that's
regarding
another thing. People who have a blanket that's the size of a tarp for a
yeah.
small yacht, and there's two of them on it, and then you come with your party of 10, and now we're all sitting on your towel. You know what I'm talking about.
I do
about.
Know what you're talking about. I have not struggled with that.
Ever? Like a lawn concert or event?
I don't think so because
Lucky.
I'm pretty aggressive. I get my blanket out because I'm usually with a large group. So I get my blanket out and then you give me my space. Like, now, what I do get annoyed about is there are rules about the heights of lawn
mm-hmm,
chairs
mm-hmm.
for movies, outdoor movies. And there are some people that bring chairs that are just too tall.
Yeah.
And they know it.
Yep.
And they're not the ones that are right on the ground. They're the second level one.
Like a camping chair.
Yes,
yes.
And no one can see around
no.
you. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. And you still bring it and you still sit up straight in it and
mm-hmm.
don't care. Like if you're going to bring a chair that tall, lean back.
Or sit in the very back of the lawn.
Right. Because there are people there that don't bring chairs and they're just laying on the ground.
Yeah.
They can't see around you.
So rude.
I bring the tiny, tiny chair that's almost on the ground. And
like
then,
almost a beach chair where the water could lap up.
Absolutely.
To you.
Yep, your same. Legs are on the grass.
That's
for
exactly
sure.
What we have.
Yeah. And seeing me get out of it, I literally had rug burn from the grass because I had jeans on. I rug burned my own knees with my jeans trying to get up out of that.
They are bad. That's why like I don't like to have anything to drink when I go to something like that. I'm like, I'm going to sit and I do not want to have to get up until we're walking out to leave.
Yeah, I don't. And if I can't reach something, I will swing my body until I can reach it just for a second.
If I can get enough torque,
enough momentum, I can leap forward and fall back.
Totally.
Oh, good. I got my hummus. Oh, gosh, darn it. Where's the Triscuits?
Do you like Triscuits?
And dipped in something I do. You don't like it?
Mm-hmm. It's like I didn't the shredded when I was a wheat kid. Of the cracker world.
It is. I didn't like it when I was a kid. As an adult, I do. My dad used to eat grape nuts.
Oh, that's like mini gravel.
Yeah, it's awful. He ate it by choice.
Yes. Ugh. Some people love it.
Ugh. All right, should we get into our corners before we start talking about sure. I don't know what? Hey, Jessica, have you ever played Yahtzee? So our first corner is called Help Wanted. Help Wanted. Jessica.
Oh, I have nothing to add. That's really extra, extra. Okay. Help Wanted. Are you looking for a job?
Because I am, always.
We may have found the right way for you to make money by doing literally absolutely nothing.
Literally nothing.
Other than living out the actual, what is it? The seven sins? Sloth?
Oh, yeah.
Do you love lying in bed?
Yep.
Get paid by NASA. To do it for space research. If you have ever wanted to get paid to lie in bed, then this job is for you. By the way, this is not from some jank thing. This is from NPR, everybody. Let me give you full disclosure.
this is
from
NPR.org. Real story, not Grand Fork Herald.
Okay.
Yeah.
NASA, the European Space Agency, and the German Aerospace Center are offering $18,500 for people to lie in bed for 2 months.
2 months, $18,000.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
Maybe you'd like to hear more.
Okay.
The job is based in Cologne, Germany, and it's part of a study designed to better understand how the body adapts to weightlessness.
Okay.
The agencies are currently looking for people who are I must have glazed over this part. Who are female.
Check.
Between the ages of 24 and 55.
Check.
And who speak German.
Ooh.
The official name. The official name of the study is Artificial Gravity Bed Rest Study, but there's a catch.
Okay.
Those chosen for the job will have to stay in bed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 60 straight days.
That's a lot of bed sores.
That means no getting up for bathroom breaks.
Gross.
Bathing.
Oh.
Or meals.
What? I'll eat in bed all the time, but.
And the money? Well, it comes out to just shy of $13 an hour.
No.
But you're also getting paid 24 hours a day.
Well, that's true. And also, can you...
I don't make $18,000 in 2 months.
No, huh? Okay. You have to go like crab fishing for that and risk your life. Can you watch TV and stuff like that, I would assume?
I don't know, but somebody with the Aerospace Agency says that those things and not being able to get up, she doesn't believe that will deter people from participating.
You know what? I don't think she's wrong. I think there are people who will do it. But do you know what I instantly thought when you told me about it? You've seen WALL-E.
Yes.
Okay, so all
WALL-E.
Those... Yes.
WALL-E?
Yes. But it's spelled WALL-E.
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
You said
put it on the list.
You've seen WALL-E.
I don't look like some doe-eyed mermaid when I talk.
You don't, but the cadence was unreal. WALL-E.
It's WALL-E. But anyway, they, those people got all fat and they had those hover chairs and their they were losing bone density. So couldn't this yeah. be dangerous? Wouldn't you lose bone, like your muscles atrophy and bone density go down?
Okay, you, I'm sure, especially in the beginning stages when you had an accident and broke your arm, you were probably stuck in bed for a bit.
Yes.
I was in bed once for an entire week at a hospital. They couldn't figure out what was wrong and it was, I just had a bad reaction to medication. It was making one of my levels go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt great. I luckily can walk around on my all that, but I was not bed allowed to leave yeah. the hospital. And I'm telling you, especially from going from, I've always worked in retail, I've always been on my feet all day long.
Yeah.
Going from that to literally laying in bed, except for the once or twice a day I'd walk with my IV around the hall.
Uh-huh.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And for a week afterwards, I felt like I had sea legs. My legs literally
jiggly.
Did not feel normal because they had not been, and that was just for a week.
A week. That's 7 days versus yes. 60. That's a lot. Is it worth the $18,000?
I don't think so.
Also, do you get to do it with a girlfriend or something? Because if you don't know or like people you're with, then it's also isolating.
I don't know, but this is even weirder. Before you apply, be warned. Oh, real? There's more to warn us about? For the study, volunteers will have to lie in bed with their heads tilted slightly downward.
What?
That's to help recreate conditions of space flight. When volunteers mm-hmm. lie in bed with their heads tilted roughly 6 degrees below the horizontal, then a lot of the effects that space flight has on the human body can be simulated or being reproduced. This is getting crazier and crazy. I don't get it.
Picture. So you're not allowed to just be in bed. You have to be laying flat?
Well, I don't understand this because here's the very end of the article.
Okay.
Volunteers will be exposed to artificial gravity to test if it can countermeasure to the effects of spaceflight. The study finds that exposure has a positive effect. It may be used as an official countermeasure for future spaceflight missions. If volunteers are hoping to get some exercise while on the job, fret not. The organization has tested everything from jumping in bed to cycling in bed, plus other contraptions that can be mounted to the beds.
So now I have to work out while I'm laying there?
That sounds like a medieval torture, right? Remember? When they like yes. tie your wrists and
like
your legs,
drawn
and
pull. Quartered.
Yes. Tar and feathered. What next? No. NASA. So disappointed.
I wish I had that on a t-shirt. What next? NASA.
Like, I'm sorry. You know, the major, I mean, there's lots of space centers, but the very, to me, very famous one, the Huntsville, Alabama one, where they right. have space camp,
mm-hmm.
also a movie,
mm-hmm.
they have a simulator there.
Mm.
So they have things where you can, so I'm serious, you can't test people in the gravity simulator where they can at least still have move. I don't know. I mean, what?
I'm telling you, somebody watched WALL-E and decided to make a study.
WALL-E.
What do you call the lady robot?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
I don't remember her name.
Oh.
I lent that movie to someone along with a nice chunk of my collection. I never saw it again.
Who was it?
So I'm a
call
little bitter. No, I will not. A little bitter.
I'm going to ask you off to
you. Lose some of my favorites.
I still have Freaks and Geeks from Todd Veneman. And I've tried to give it back to him several times, but now I haven't seen him in 3 years. And I had gone like, it would be 2 years and then I'd see him and we'd hug and I'd be like, dude, I have your freak. Where are you living? I got to get. I know.
Why don't you mail it to him in somebody's Tupperware that you still have?
And ask him to return the Tupperware yes, to them. Oh, weird. Oh, NASA, what next?
So weird.
That is amazing. Well,
anyways, inquiring minds apply.
Yeah. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
That was very good.
Thank you. Well, I brought a corner. This is ridiculous. It's world. I'm calling it world news. And it's the worst.
How preposterous.
World news. It's really dumb. This is from Reuters.com. Here we go. It's by Jack Tarrant. And the title is Duvets Discarded, Cushions Thrown at Japan's Pillow Fighting Championship.
No.
Mm-hmm. The Japanese may be known for their neatness, particularly when it comes to making their bed in the morning, but all social norms went out the window on Saturday during qualifying for the All Japan Pillow Fighting Championships in Shizuoka Prefecture, Shizuoka Prefecture. In the small fishing town of Edo, 150 kilometers south of Tokyo, teams gathered from across the region to compete in the event that has been one of Japan's quirkiest since 2013. Started by a group of high school children in the town, the game is based on the age-old ritual of pillow fighting when away from the supervision of teachers and parents at a sleepover on a school trip. The game starts with all five players sleeping under duvets on futons before the whistle goes, and they leap to their feet and reach for a pillow. A mix between dodgeball and chess, the aim is to protect each team's king from being hit by pillows whilst trying to hit the opposition's king during 2-minute sets. It's pretty extensive. One player on each team can also use a duvet as a shield. Saturday's regional tournament contained 16 teams vying for the qualifications for national competition, which has 64 entrants and is held next February. The teams made up of local businesses, high school basketball teams, and local athletic clubs attracts a wide range of participants. Through track and field activities, the team have been in touch a long time, said Takigawa, who at 75 was the oldest. 75 was the oldest participant.
What?
My team are all married and brought their children and families to enjoy our day out. Team Blanc White, who contained a 9-year-old, the second youngest competitor, won the tournament.
No way.
As their prize, the team received an array of local produce as well as the all-important qualification for next year's nationwide tournament. How crazy is that? It's kind of fun.
How do you determine the winner of a pillow fight?
Whoever's king gets beat, right? You have to hit their king within it. 2 minutes. You have to hit the opposition's team there, and there's shields. I mean, that's
well, really... the duvet as a shield. I mean, how flimsy a pillow would make a better shield than a duvet.
It's true. Yeah.
It's so big and floppy. Like,
also, what's a 79-year-old and a 9-year-old doing?
I don't know, but I want to see that old man. That's amazing.
Would you participate in a pillow fight?
I would.
I feel like I want to say I wouldn't, but I get so competitive.
I mean, again, I don't want some creep who is so aggressive that it's scary.
Yeah. Or someone with their hands inside their pillow. And
no,
just,
but just a normal, just like you did as a kid, you hold the end and...
Yeah.
I mean, we always did that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but
nobody was trying to hurt someone. It was just
trope for dirty movies.
Ew.
Yeah, I wonder, there's got to be something weird going on.
Pillow fight part deux.
Way to make something really cute disgusting, Dana. All right, should we move into our raves?
Let's do it.
All right, your turn.
So this is actually very fitting and was not planned, but when Dana was talking about not setting a good example and leaving someone else's dog's leftovers behind.
Telling my son, that's not ours, leave it.
It's so funny. So this is something that some of you maybe have done yourself and you didn't even know there was a word for it or a movement. This is something that I looked into after watching a friend post about this. She's a very active individual. She's always looking for ways to streamline. She's great at organizing. She always tried to encourage people, not just when we work together, but any friend and actually stranger that she comes across. She is somebody who is like walking the walk.
I like that.
Yeah. She's not shoving anything in her face. She's not passing judgment, but she's always
leading
like...
Leading by example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you only did this, I promise things would be a lot easier and it would help you out a lot. So she had posted on Facebook a couple of months ago that she wanted to start a campaign and organize a group twice a month to assist her in her quest to remove trash from the streets. And on MLK Day, 30 agents from the real estate agent that she works for went to George Washington Carver Middle School in South Central LA and joined 1,000 others with the goal of beautifying the school to make it more uplifting and pristine environment. Isn't that that's
wow.
A huge turnout.
Yeah.
I spent the day in their beautiful garden digging up weeds and roots and spreading mulch throughout. Others painted, planted flowers, or picked up trash around the perimeter of the massive school. Inspired by this day of service, and more specifically the trash clearing, in the weeks since, I've been picking up trash around Beverly Hills High. Every Wednesday morning, after running at the track, I pick up trash and dispose of it on my way back home. Today, I took it a step further and collected detritus during my entire 7-mile run.
What's detritus?
Like, just another word for all kinds of debris and trash and stuff.
I've never heard that word before.
Yeah. On my 7-mile run, which turned into more of a walk, through Beverly Hills, West Hollywood, and Westwood, you would be quite surprised by the quantity I amassed. Some of the items I removed from the streets, sidewalks, and landscaping include 2 broken pairs of sunglasses, receipts from 15 different transactions, bottles galore, Starbucks cups, a ribbon from See's Candy, French fry boxes, cigarette butts, and a sprinkles ice cream bowl. An added bonus from today's excursion, I did approximately 150 unexpected squats during my workout.
Because she's squatting to pick things up.
Yes.
See, I would buy a pincher, but go ahead.
So she had been talking about this, and then she saw something online, and it is a movement called plogging, which was started, if you will, or like came to be in Sweden. Plogging is the Swedish fitness craze for people who want to save the planet, and it's finally making its way to the US. The term is a mashup of jogging and the Swedish plocka up, meaning pick up. In this case, litter. Across Europe, there are plogging groups all over. I'm not just going to let litter sit there. I'm not just going to walk by that plastic bottle. It's not that I don't think it's gross to pick it up. I do. But I also think it's gross for a person to not take responsibility for it. This woman who's talking in the article says she's been plogging for several months, but just a few weeks ago learned what she's been doing has a name. Her partner used to lovingly tease her about her habit of going out for a run slash walk with a trash bag and plastic gloves. He used to call it my trash runs. A few weeks ago, he said, the Swedes have a name for your trash runs. It's called plogging. She mostly picks up cigarette butts, bits of foam containers, plastic bottles, bottle caps, an alarming number of full diapers.
Ugh.
Who does that?
I know.
But it says plogging not just helps the environment, it's quite good for your health. Think squats while jogging. A half hour of jogging plus picking up trash will burn 288 calories compared with 235 burned by jogging alone. It makes me feel good for so many reasons. My pants fit differently. I'm more nipped in at the waist. I think it's a balance because of balance and flexibility. So anyways, I think it's a very interesting thing. And yes, nobody wants to pick up someone else's trash, but I have to say I'm the same way. Dana and I were talking about how luckily we live in neighborhoods that are residential and there's not insane amounts of trash, but people like zoom through our neighborhood and just chuck things out the window.
I can't handle
that. So I can't tell you the stuff that I keep finding. I mean, I live in an apartment, but my front door has a little stoop and I have a grass lawn, which I do like to sit in sometimes from reading or whatever.
Yeah.
And now I just go inside and grab a glove because I'm like, A, it's just going to blow down the street. It's not disappearing, but it also looks like crap. Yeah. I don't want people thinking I'm some trash bag who can't put my trash inside the door. Do you know what I mean? So
if it's nice. Now, both of them mentioned it's like squats. Now, when I pick up trash, I don't squat. I bend from the middle.
I
and
do
usually
too.
It's accompanied by this. Ugh.
But you're right. Yes, our inclination is to bend over at the back.
But they're squatting, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're like plotting. Dropping down like into a grand plié or something.
No, it's grand. Add it to the list. I think it's wonderful.
I think it's great.
I need to be better about that. I will say sometimes I do pick up trash, but I do get worried about it being dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going on my doggy walk, maybe I should just start making it a thing. Because like I said, where it gets busy, there is trash. I just bring a plastic bag, bring some gloves. Mm-hmm. And squat it out.
I will tell you, and I always, every year I'm like, is this going to be the year that he's too old for this or doesn't care about things anymore? But one of my nephews, he lives in Croatia.
Wow.
He comes, it's from my husband's family's side. Uh-huh. He comes to Canada for at least a month every summer. So we always get to see him.
Uh-huh.
And he is obsessed with anything animals, anything environmental. He wants to be a marine biologist, just like I did. It's awesome. But one of the things I love the most, my mother-in-law lives in a beautiful old neighborhood that backs up to the ravine system in Toronto. And so there's trees everywhere. It's beautiful. They have a bike path. People walk their dogs back there, ride bikes. It's pretty darn pristine. And Canadians, I have to say, are pretty respectful in general.
Lovely.
But sometimes people drop stuff. So it really upsets my nephew because his mind goes to, oh, the animals are going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So we always go when we're there every summer. We know we're going to have at least one picnic in the forest, right? But every time he's like, can you please make sure to take a bag so we can pick up any of the trash that we find?
Aw, how old is he?
Well, now he's 14, so I'm like, I hope he's still. But even as of last year, he still wanted to do it.
Good. That's
and it was
cool.
Really cute. No, I love that. He's like, we can't.
I think that being that young, that's something that's innate. That's going to follow mm-hmm. him through his life. He just has a passion for
And I also love that, I mean, again, depending on the area you might live in, that this generation is growing up not tolerating the things that are destroying the environment.
Well, yeah, because they see the older people literally killing their planet.
Yes.
Like, they're not going to have a planet to live on.
So they're very vocal about it.
They are. They're very aware. And rightfully so. And I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it continues and gets stronger and that they do fix the things. We are so stupid.
It's really depressing.
It is. I've told you, my parents don't even have a recycle pickup.
In town?
In town. In Missouri. Their garbage
pickup. Should be mandatory everywhere.
Everywhere should have recycle pickup.
And hello, government. That would give people jobs.
I know.
I mean, not just picking it up, but then have the centers that process it.
I know.
You know?
I know. It's heartbreaking that we're not taking the time to care about this planet that sustains us.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I really, really love that. I wish it had a different name because I think of planking.
Planking. Yeah. Plogging.
Plogging. Planking. What would we call it in America?
Plogging.
Oh. So my rave this week is just kind of a good news story to kind of switch it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this and I think it's a little bit of an older story, but it's just still so inspiring. It's written by the Washington Post. It doesn't have the name of the author. A 90-year-old retired veterinarian gives ailing animals a spring in their step.
Mm.
In a small white warehouse in tiny Chesapeake Bay town, 90-year-old Lincoln Parks, that's his name, spends his days making wheelchairs for dogs or cats or rabbits or chickens. Not horses, though, as Parks is not a horse person. Let's see. Parks first invented and patented a cart that allows disabled animals to walk in the early 1960s, launching a lifelong love affair with the craft. He opened a wheelchair shop, canine cart, around the same time and kept it running as a side business throughout his decades-long career as a veterinarian surgeon. After performing more than 3,000 spine surgeries, Parks retired in 1991 and moved to Oxford, a colonial port-turned vacation spot with a population of roughly 600, one grocery store, and scores of yachts. Parks' retirement didn't mean he stopped working. Instead, he focused all of his attention on his lifelong passion. He set up a workshop two blocks from his home and began churning out wheelchairs. I like to give animals a better life, Parks said. If you put them in a cart when they can't get around, it gives them mobility so they can use their front legs and their spirit just goes. They're like kids once they got their independence. On a sunny Tuesday morning, Parks bent over a table and fiddled with tiny rubber leg straps attached to a wheelchair destined for a Welsh corgi. This is how he whiles away every weekday from roughly 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., handcrafting several hundred made-to-order carts each year. He fashioned small wheelchairs for Dachshunds with bad backs, still smaller ones for Chihuahuas that were born without front legs, massive metal monsters for 120-pound German Shepherds. He's still designing, too, still trying to perfect the pet wheelchair. Retired veterinarian colleagues marvel that the man known in their field for his invention and for his empathy towards disabled animals is still working and innovating. Clients say Parks' wheelchairs, which run from 300 to upward of 800, offer extra years of life to six pets.
Aww.
It made a dramatic difference the moment Lear was put into his cart. He took off running, said Amy Deischer, who purchased a cart for her corgi after he contracted a degenerative disease that slowly paralyzed the dog. Prior to going into the cart, he was dragging his hind end and he wouldn't do his normal activities. It made me very happy that he could do what he used to do. His time, let's see here. He had joined the Navy roughly 2 years before the close of World War II at the age of 17 and spent the tail end of the war stealing and analyzing enemy equipment. Wow. Hmm. Afterward, feeling somewhat aimless, Parks and a friend began skiing their way around the country. The pair roamed the United States for 2 years, paying their way by working odd jobs. They often tended to animals on ranches. But I woke up one morning, he said, and I thought, uh-oh, this is my life. It didn't make a whole lot of sense, though it was a lot of fun. His time at the ranch had convinced him he wanted to work with animals, so planning to learn animal husbandry, he became a rancher. He went back to school, first prep school, then veterinary college at Colorado State University, where the powder snow is excellent for skiing. The dogs that I had done surgery for didn't all walk afterwards, Park said, and the owner said, look, I'm not going to put my dog down. Will you give them something so that they can get around? And I said, sure. He seized the idea, and canine carts were born. I love it!
How old did you say he is? 90?
90!
Oh, my God.
90.
He's retired. He's obviously doing it surely for the love of helping animals. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I'm sure that keeps him young.
It says that they have dipped into their savings sometimes to help fund the operation. Sales are down and his reach is no longer national. He's mostly sells to locals now. He's not discouraged. He's working on a new and better version of the wheelchair that he thinks will sell well. This is just an interim period, Parks said. I'm a determined little devil and I'm not going to give up on these animals. Hannah Nattinson wrote it for the Washington Post.
Oh my gosh.
What a sweet man.
I'm going to have to look up some of the, I wonder if it links to people showing their animals with the carts because I have seen it before.
So cute.
And
so
actually,
cute.
Again, my nephew, the one who's the animal lover, it kind of looks like that, what you're showing me.
Yeah, I showed a
picture. He introduced me several years ago and we're both still obsessed. We've been following this animal's life as he gets older. Chris P. Bacon.
Oh,
it's a pig.
A piggy?
Who was born without the use of his hind legs. And you know how cute a baby pig is.
Yes.
There was a little cart made for him. And so he just runs around everywhere with the wheels in the back. But now he's like
huge.
Full grown.
Yeah.
He's several years old, but living a lot. He lives on a farm. Like it's amazing.
It's amazing when you see cats and dogs that get their little wheels.
Yes.
They take off running.
Totally.
It's magical to watch their spirit. Mm-hmm. Like he said, just like they come alive.
Yeah.
Because they just want to run like everybody else. It's so cute.
It is so cute.
I saw a lady one time made one for her hamster.
What?
Yeah, her hamster had some kind of hind leg problem.
Aww.
And I was like, hamsters only live for like 3 years. Like, what a kind woman. But that 3-year hamster life was great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sweet.
It is sweet.
Not that hamsters die after 3 years, but I mean, just people's love for their animals.
I agree.
Jessica!
Dana!
I think that's our show.
I think it is.
I should tell people how to contact us so they can complain about all the horrible things I say and do. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook at the Rants and Raves Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at @raves_the. We have a website, therantsandravespodcast.com. There's a contact button. You can reach us that way, or you can email us at therantsandravespodcast@gmail.com. Guys, send us in things that bug you so we can rant about it. And we're not just saying what bugs us.
Yeah.
Send us in all these organizations. We're finding international ones. We'd love to have more of that. If you've got some hometown stuff, share it with us. We want to know.
A funny aside, whatever it is. Hey, I have something to shout out. This is from a listener of ours who has a new page on Facebook and Instagram called 40s for the Win.
Oh.
And she's a very talented graphic designer. She's in Mississippi. She's trying to find lots to laugh about these days. And she's been very vocal about the flooding that's going on in Mississippi, which is not being given national attention.
It's not,
her brother's farm was wiped out. He cannot plant.
I believe I've seen her posts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a little laugh, 40s for the Win.
Love it.
Yes.
What a great shout out. Thank you, Jessica. I'm going to give us just a little, this is a fact. I guess it's a weekly point to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what I want you to get from this, people, is you don't have to do a NASA study, but get your sleep. Okay. Because in a standoff between hunger and sleep, hunger would win every time. That's because you can live about 3 tragic and horrific weeks without eating. But a mere 11 days without sleep, you'll start shutting down.
Interesting.
Your body will start shutting down. So this is me saying to you, take some naps, guys. Take some naps.
Okay.
Get your sleep. Take some naps. All right, guys. Same time, same place here next week. Yeah?
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.